morning. The Honorable Mr. David Neal will be chairing this hearing. Therefore, he will call on each of you at the appropriate time. Thank you so very much, and we will begin the hearing very shortly. The next voice you hear will be the Honorable Mr. David Neal.
Yes, I think so. Is there anyone here in the audience for this hearing for Mr. Verhage?
No, sir.
No? Okay. I'm worried about the possibility of somebody from DLC would be here.
Yeah.
Okay, for this particular. Okay. So you can explain this?
We will do our best.
Okay. Mr. Verhage, Ralph Studios.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Would you state your name and agency number for the record, please?
Ralph Verhage, 072924.
Thank you, sir. This is a parole hearing for Mr. Verhage, who is 65 years old and has been serving a total of 5 sentences. 4 were sexual conduct with a minor, and the last one is molestation of a child, which he is actually currently serving now because of expiration. There was a problem in Ames, and it seems Mr. Verhage was missed and has missed several opportunities for the possibility of parole to the next consecutive sentence, and this is where it starts to get confusing. So I think right now, so that the board totally understands, or at least we think will understand, what we're looking at as far as options, I would like the representative from the Department of Corrections to step forward and see if you can straighten out my key brain this morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Board. My name is Herb Haley. I'm with the Arizona Department of Corrections. I am the Time Computation Administrator. You have in front of you a letter that we submitted, and it is a request for a retro hearing because of some missed parole hearings that M.A. Verhage was eligible to be heard on. We had done an audit of our system and of a number of inmates that had sentencing structures such as M.A. Verhage, and we found some irregularities in his sentence calculation and the system not generating his name on reports that we use. They're automated reports that help us submit names to you folks for scheduling and consideration. So the letter is to explain that, and I brought with me Ms. Brittany Cassiano, one of our techs, who assisted in putting together the spreadsheet that you have to help explain a little bit more what the release dates could be based on the types of hearings.
Hi, I'm Brittany Cassiano. Is he explaining over in time competition? So inmate Verhage is serving 5 sentences. The first count 1 and 2 are already expired. Count 1, 2, and 3 are all concurrent. And since count 1 and 2 are expired, count 3, inmate Verhage would have been eligible to see the board on July 2nd, 1998. And if granted, he could be granted any time on or after that date. Then he went to his count 4 without seeing the board. He wasn't generated on our list. He served his full sentence. He went to his count 4 and missed his parole eligibility date. He would have been eligible, let's see here, on July 1st, 2012. That's if he had not been granted on count 3. But had he been granted on count 3 at the original parole eligibility date, he would have been eligible to see the board on November 2nd, 2007. So he could have been granted any time, basically on or after November 2nd, 2007. Had he been, do you guys have any questions for me? At this moment?
So what's our options this morning?
So he needs to be heard for count 3.
He needs to be heard for count 3.
Yes, and count 4.
And count 4.
Yes. And then at that time, we'll determine if what happened with count 5. Right now, count 5 is in the future.
Count five is in the future?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts, show that count five is in the future, so now we're looking at counts three and four, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I believe, please go ahead.
Yeah, on count three, he wound up serving the entire sentence to the sentence expiration date, and then started serving count four.
Okay, but he's on count four now, am I correct?
He's on count, he's serving count five currently, but his parole eligibility date for count five is in the future.
It is in the future, okay.
Yes.
I believe, Mr. Johnson, you was about to ask something, I'm sorry.
So count three and count four are expired?
Yes.
That's correct.
So when we hear count three and four, why are we hearing count three and four?
Because he never had an opportunity for a parole hearing on either of those sentences. And if he were to be granted a retro parole on either of those two counts, it would obviously cause the next sentence to start sooner.
So
we would move all of his release dates earlier than what they're currently projected.
So on counts three and four, what you're asking us to do is go there and have a hearing to see if we would pass him on to his next consecutive sentence?
That's correct. Beginning with count three?
And then go to count four and see if we would pass him on to his next consecutive sentence.
Count five.
And then he's currently on count five now.
Correct.
Right? So we wouldn't be hearing it because he's on count five now. So basically, we're basically just saying that we would have heard, had those hearings and passed him on to his next consecutive sentence, he would be doing less time. So that would change everything on count five.
That is exactly correct. And what could happen is it would, if you were to grant a parole on one of those or both, his parole eligibility for count five that he's currently serving will be moved up probably considerably depending on what decision's made.
Yes, so just to clarify, we have a 2026 date. That's not a firm date. That's based on now. So if how we vote today could make that date earlier to account for this?
That is correct.
Error.
That is correct.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dan, I went over and over and over this thing, and I think I figured out. So, but if we were to ram in with all the next consecutive on count three, that basically brings him up into an eligibility with count five. Am I correct, or do we have to move four also? Because
it depends on the date that you grant. Now, we understand that there's the parole eligibility date, and then you have the sentence expiration date.
Right.
So you could grant anything in between that time frame. It doesn't have to be the actual parole eligibility date itself. You could grant anything you want in between the parole eligibility date and the sentence expiration date. That's your call on whatever you're looking for. When we did the spreadsheet, we did our dates based on what the parole eligibility date would be because we needed to have a date, some kind of a time frame to start the next sentence. But you can select whatever you want in between that period, and then we would just have to go back and do a recalculation to figure out, okay, based on what you grant and the date that you want to make it effective, we'll determine when the next sentence begins, and then what is the parole eligibility date for that next sentence.
So we can make it more confusing.
Well, you know, we make it pretty confusing ourselves, but the way it would be right now, though, is if you granted parole on either three or four, or both, it's going to have an impact on five.
Right.
No matter what date you select, it'll have an impact. Because both three and four were served in their entirety, all the way to the sentence expiration. That's why we're requesting the retro consideration.
My question is, not that we would necessarily accept your recommendation, but I'm going to ask, and I hope you can help me with this one, because I'm sure everybody else understands except me. So what dates would we be looking at for counts three and four in order to move him to count five? What dates would we actually be looking at? I'm a little confused there.
The parole eligibility dates. So on count three, he would have been eligible anytime on or after July 2nd, 1988.
But the maximum, well, the last one would have been that July 2nd, 1998. That would be the date that he would have come before this board.
And if this board had moved him, then...
Well, technically, he should have gone 5 months prior to that.
But that's the date where...
Yeah.
Okay, let's not confuse him. Act as if I'm very elementary. Okay, then if we go to count four, then the PED would be November the 2nd, 2007.
That's the earliest if he was granted on count three.
And if we were to grant him on count three. Okay. And count, and he's on count five at this particular time.
Yes.
Okay. So technically, I don't mean legal in there, but technically, because of whatever happened, he's already on count five. So it wouldn't be who this board, this is a question, not a suggestion, it would not be who this board to move it back since he's already there.
Well, I guess the response would be that if you did grant, it would start the sentence earlier and he could get out sooner.
If you decide to grant count three and four, he could technically be eligible earlier than 2026 for the parole hearing on count five.
But then you would have to do, you have time to comp, then you would have to do that.
Correct, to recalculate at the time.
That's not up to the board, that's totally up to you. Okay. So basically, you're asking us to consider the count three and four, and if we do count three and four, then if we go to count five, then you're going to do the necessary calculations that would give the exact date.
We'll send you a new certification.
Okay.
For count five, if necessary.
Okay. I'm a little afraid to ask this question, and I know that you've done quite a bit of math, but had he been granted his 412Bs at first try, would he been out by now?
He could not have been released unless he was granted, okay, his parole eligibility date for count five, the earliest it possibly could have been was October 29th, 2021.
Okay, so that puts things in context, and I'm sorry to confuse things as well, but thank you. Thank you for having the answer.
May I ask you something? Then today's motion needs to be whether or not to grant parole and also an effective date. And that date needs to be included in the motion.
For each of those counts.
For each count.
Yes.
And they need to be done separately.
That's correct.
Okay, got it.
Right.
Got it. Thank you.
But it can be one motion that could handle both.
It needs to say both.
You say count three, and this is the PED or the date we want to give to him, and then do the same thing with four. So if I'm reading the spreadsheet correctly, if we were to use the PED on everything and granted three and four, then he would his PED for five would have been last year, and he's only has till. So May of this year for the ERCD day, correct?
No. Actually, we left the ERCD off of the count five. Is it on this?
Not the spreadsheet, that's what
it's on. Okay, the second part.
That's the
second page.
I guess we gave you the more updated.
So it's May 2nd.
Yeah, it's May 2nd.
No, that's a sentence expiration date.
Right, but I mean, that's if we do both. That would be the sentence, but his PED would have been March 2nd of 2017.
That's correct.
So a year ago.
Right.
Roughly. Okay, well, that's what I mean. So if we do both of those, it moves him up to a position where he's very close to being done, period, without any work rights.
The next hearing would be a 412A.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
So,
or the expiration date, depending on what gets reversed. Okay.
That's in a few days.
So, does anybody else have any more questions? Are we just totally confused?
I'm lost a little bit too. So, on count five, this seat here, this seat says basically if he was granted 412Bs on three and four, then his earned lease credit date would be May 2nd, 2018?
Correct.
Yes.
Which means... He'll be eligible for the release, correct.
So that's in a couple of months.
Correct, a month and a week, 6 weeks.
But you've got to recalculate that.
We'll have to recalculate, yeah, yeah.
Because you said something about 2021, so...
Right.
That's what I'm trying to...
Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be that different.
I think that was only if granted out of one of those and not both of those, count three and count four.
So if he was granted one, he would be 2021. Because this says on three and four, if he was granted a 412B on three and four, he would be eligible. His earned release credit date would be 2018. I mean, 5-2, May 2nd of 2018.
And we would go back and recheck those numbers and make sure everything's...
So if that's his earned release credit date,
right,
then it also would mean that he would be parole eligible.
Exactly.
Right now.
Right. That was correct.
Well, I think under the circumstances, we really have to have a recalc.
Yeah.
After we do three and four, whatever we decide there, there might be recalc before you can make a determination on five, because it moves around so much.
Correct. Right.
So we would still just be doing three and four today, and then you'd do a recalc based on our decision today,
right.
And the figures on five may be exact, you know, but it depends on what we do, because we could grant a 412B a year after his PED, and that really messes you up.
It always, but
yeah. But you're right.
It could be in any date, right?
Yeah. So once we pick a date, then you have to reach out everything based on that date.
Right.
And so we can still do three and four today, but five, no matter what we do, unless, you know, we have to find out if he would even be eligible today based on our decision. So we can't do all three counts today, just three and four.
Right.
Okay.
Back to your question. He still, if you granted three and four, he would not be released on an earned release credit date. His earliest possible date would be May 2nd, 2018. So that's the release date, is 2018.
Okay. Thank you. And I was asking in fairness to the inmate.
Sure. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Well, hopefully you two will stay around until we're done, so when the next set of questions come up, we'll be
here. So,
okay. So if you have no other questions from the board, thank you, and I think it's...
Does anybody understand what this hearing is?
Well, that's what I was talking about. First of all, Ralph,
yes.
I'll apologize for the board. I believe we all always like to see due process and eligibilities done properly and everything. So we apologize for the problem. And hopefully we'll get at least, you know, get it straightened out today. And so you understand pretty much what we're looking at today, because normally you'd come in for April hearing and it'd be pretty simple. But do you understand the complicated situation we're looking at?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll continue, and we'll be looking at the parole, as we normally do, just be a little complicated when we make a decision today, okay?
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to go through a little bit of information here and make sure that it sounds pretty much correct. We're given a packet of information, and we have to go by that. Sometimes it's not all here, and sometimes it's not totally correct. But then once I go through that, then you'll have an opportunity to speak freely about everything, okay?
Okay.
All right, so... As I said, you were serving, it started out with five sentences, four sexual conduct of a minor sentences, and one for molestation of a child. And you were convicted by a jury and then sentenced with this complicated method. But it basically counts one, two, and three were the ones concurrent. Number three is the longest sentence, so it's considered the ruling sentence. And then count four was to be consecutive to three, and then five consecutive to four. So those we'll figure out after we do the rest of the hearing, sir. Okay, so you were certified for this hearing on January 30th, 2018, and other than that, all kinds of problems were found with an audit names. Your original start date was March 2nd of 1989, and so you served approximately 29 years. And having to serve all of them flat would be a total of 49-year sentence if you, you know, had to serve the whole thing. So, according to the packet I've got, I see somewhat limited programming. You have good release plan, but you would have to receive interstate compact approval before you could move back to live with your parents. But also, DOC and the board prefer on a release, like a parole. After this long in being incarcerated, that you would be in some sort of a halfway house or something here locally until you get settled in, and then do your application for the IFP at that time. So does that sound pretty much correct so far, sir?
Well, I'll be releasing my daughter, not my parents.
Okay, but you would want to move out of state, so it's still you have to do the interstate. Compact, yes. So, and everybody prefers that you do a little bit of time, release time here before you move out of state, just to make sure there's not any problems. Since you have a disciplinary record that is very hard to find in the record, it's almost non-existent. There are five tickets since 1989, which is very, very commendable. No matter what yard you put in or what kind of conditions you are with other prisoners, it's very commendable to have that little in the way of discipline. In the packet there were no letters of support, and there were also no letters of opposition, but we have two supporters on the phone that will have an opportunity to speak on your behalf in a little bit, which is a very good thing. All right, now I'm going to give a brief synopsis of the offense. And during February and March of 1988, your 8-year-old niece was visiting on several occasions overnight. On four separate instances, you entered the bedroom where she was asleep and fondled her, and moved your finger to have to enter her vagina, and on the fifth occasion, you didn't use your finger on her vagina, so that's why it was just a child mess. And you were 37 years of age, or approximately 37 years of age, at the time of the offense. At the time of the offense and during the pre-sentencing, you didn't have a real clear reason for your actions, but said you were construction and work was slow, so you had not only had time on your hand, but your requesters didn't find work. And originally, you said you didn't recall the vagina penetration, but I don't have any notes on what was actually said at trial. So is that basically your recollection of what happened, sir?
Yes, basically, yes.
Okay, so at this time, I'd like to give you an opportunity to talk to us. None of us know you since you haven't been in front of the board before. This is an opportunity for us to kind of get familiar with you and things. So I'd like you to kind of start out by talking about the offense and what was going on in your life there, and then as we progress, you'll have the opportunity to tell us your accomplishments since you were incarcerated and what your plans are for the future and all that. So the floor is yours at this time, sir.
Yes. When the offense happened, I was dealing sexual relationship with my adopted daughter previous to that, which is not on your record. And when it was broken off, I got angry, and when I saw my niece having her hands down her pants, I got angry with her and therefore molested her, and that was not right. It was, to me, later on, it was, I guess, a cry for help, because when this was brought out, I immediately went for counseling, and I asked for counseling. And the year before the trial, I went for counseling to Las Familias in Tucson, where I worked on the problem of anger and worked on what was going on with me at that time. And I have been working on myself, because I gave my wife back to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and realized that where I had come from was I was deep into pornography, and I got out of that, and I haven't seen pornography or looked at pornography for over 30 years. So I've noticed the triggers, and I've stayed away from those, and I feel I've transformed myself at this time by doing that and staying true to my Lord and Savior. I've done all the programming that the DOC has required me to do. And I, on my corrections plan, I have nothing, there are no needs to be completed yet on my program, so.
Okay, so the pay, I'm looking for another form that we usually get. On your application, on your certification application, it is, and in the inmate program record, it shows 2, 4, 5 classes. And
right.
Cultural diversity in 2016. What do you know what SMART is?
SMART recovery group was to work on your personalities and to talk out problems.
Okay.
And it was help to enhance yourself and to become a better person.
Okay. I'm not familiar with all of it. Programming available, and I know it's different from facility to facility, but this doesn't show any programming in reference to sex offenses, you know, any kind of classes. Now, it didn't necessarily show counseling or, you know, trips to see a mental health official on that part of it, but with no classes available to you in this time that has to do with
classes were available to me, but because DOC had me doing flat time, I was not eligible to take them because I was doing a flat sentence, so DOC wouldn't let me take any of those classes until I got towards the end of my sentence.
Okay. Well, yeah, we hear that. That's why I'm asking you, because I don't have all the records, and of course,
I tried to, but my answer from the counselors were, well, you had to be on the first ones when I first come down. It was where you had to be 4 years to remove this pole.
Right.
And then after DOC added 13-604.01 dangerous crimes against me on my paperwork, which I was not sentenced under, that put me on the record of your record as being flat. Doing flat time,
okay.
which I never was able to find out why I was doing flat time. Every time I would talk with the counselors over it, show them my paperwork, they would just say, well, you know, and it was only by going through a grievance procedure up here in Kingman that I found out about the charge being added to me.
Okay.
That was never there to begin with.
Okay. Well, I that's all that information is given, given to us in the packet. And we do realize that, you know, depending on your sentence and other factors that we don't all understand, is sometimes it's hard to get programming of any type.
I've done other programming under yours, but they've never been put on the ink slot. They were never, you know, they were.
So tell me what your long-term plans are when you're released, whether we do it through a parole process or in your sentence. What's your plan? What are you going to do with your life?
I'm going to get out and go stay with my daughter and help her. She has a business, and I plan on helping her in her business and helping other people. I want to be able to help people with what I know, you know. I don't really necessarily need a job because of I'll be able to draw unemployment. I mean, I'll be able to draw Social Security, and I have an inheritance from my mother when she passed away as a backup. So I do know that previous people before me that have sex offenses, if they had a clean record and was working as I have, I've had several jobs in DOC throughout this time, and considered to be in help with saving money in DOC on a lot of projects, you know, that I was impacted on. That several of my friends that were sex offenders that went before the parole board on their first time and had consecutive numbers got paroled to the next number on their first time.
Okay, that's part of what we're going to try to straighten out today. So this is just a curiosity question. Where is Sunrift, Texas?
Where is what?
Can I answer that?
Certainly.
It is in between Corpus Christi, Texas, and Houston, Texas.
Okay.
We're right along the coast. I live on San Antonio Bay.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
That was just a curiosity. I know quite a few small towns in Texas, but I never heard of that one. What kind of a business is that you're going to help your daughter with?
She had a pool business. She cleans pools and takes care of pools, swimming pools.
Okay. Well, I started to ask you if it was a pool like you swim in or a shooting pool, but you answered that. There's a lot of work in that sort of business around the most populated areas. Okay, I'm going to see if any of my fellow board members have any questions for you, sir, and then after that we'll have your daughter and your father. Your two
brother.
Okay, your two supporters will have an opportunity to hear. Mr. Canone.
Thank you. And again, I need to get the pronunciation correct. Is it Verage or Verage, Mr.?
Yeah, Verage.
Verage. So I want to begin by saying that we have to consider the weight of your crimes and the status of your rehabilitation. Please know, as one voting board member, it's important that things are made right in terms of due process. But I still have some questions to ask because I can sense your frustration about the time calculation. But as I stated, we still have to consider the weight of the crimes and the status of your rehabilitation. Are you still attracted to underage females at this stage of your development?
No.
And have you attended, and now we're not talking about any of the questions that were already asked, but any sort of addiction anonymous program since you've been inside the correction system? Because it sounds like, at least my experience has been with sex offenders, that it's, to a certain extent, like any other addiction. And so have you sought that sort of programming since you've been inside the corrections system?
I didn't understand what programming you asked.
I mean, some sort of, I know you, it's not narcotics or alcohol that's at stake, but some sort of 12-step program.
There isn't one for us. SOTP is, but there's nothing else for us to take.
There's no sort of like group or, like I said, 12-step type of program. I'm not talking about SOTP. If an individual is an alcoholic or addicted to drugs, there's all types of addictions out there. So it's been my experience that those types of group sessions are available. You mentioned having other friends that were sex offenders that have already been released. So was there any sort of personal group therapy that you went through to deal with your issues as a sex offender?
Well, I mentioned previously the year before coming into prison, into my trial, I went to a place called Las Familias, which was a sex offender treatment program deal. And I worked on myself outside before I came in, and then used what I had there to come in and stay working with, knowing that pornography was a big deal in what I did. That's why I've never stopped. I never looked at it since. I mean, it's been 30 years.
So you're saying that your attraction to pornography equals your attraction to underage females?
No. It was leading up to that. I wasn't sexually aroused by my victim. It was like an anger issue because of what my adopted daughter had done, where she had molested several kids, and I struck out at her, and then I found out that I was wrong, but then with the anger issue, I struck out at my niece, and that's when that we brought, we went for counseling, my wife and I, and we went to counseling before the police ever got involved, and then after the police were involved, then I went into Las Familias and worked on myself there. And when I come into prison, I tried to get into SOTP, but they wouldn't let me into SOTP.
Well, I'm making that the issue right now. We have to deal with the issue at hand. And that's why I said that your due process, certainly to me as one voting board member, is very important, and I recognize that this is unfortunate. But I'm not going to glaze over why you're in the prison system in the first place. And so my concern is where you're at in your rehabilitation process.
I'm constantly checking myself and everything. I have other people I talk with, and I'm leaning on, like I told you, I'm leaning on my Lord and Savior, because I didn't like what I did. I didn't like it. And I wish it never happened. But I can't take that back. You know, all I can do is go forward. And that's what I've been doing. I don't look at women lustfully anymore. I don't have lustful thoughts about children. It's not there anymore. You know. And I daily pray to stay with that way. You know. And I wish, like I said, I didn't know of any talks. I've never been on a card that's had any 12-step program. You know, you said a 12-step program. Well, the only thing that I knew of was substance abuse. This was NA and AA on any of the yards I've been on.
What sort of damage do you think your offenses did to the victims?
A serious amount of offense to them, yes. And I wish, through my counseling, and you know, I wish I could be able to talk with them and tell them that I'm sorry for what I've done, and that I wish it would never happen. And it just it hurts me. It's a daily reminder all the time of what I did, and that's never going to go away.
Thank you for being candid with the board, sir. I'm going to see if any other board members have any questions.
Mr. Thompson.
Sir, and in notes, and you made a statement about it too, but in the pre-sentence report, it talks about you having a relationship with your 16-year-old stepdaughter, and I think several times that you had sexual intercourse with her, and you said that the reason was because you loved her. Why weren't there any charges, or what happened with that situation?
I didn't hear all that. Are you talking to me?
Yes, sir. That's my error.
Oh. Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Sir, there is an indication in the report, and you mentioned it to you, too, that you had a sexual relationship with your 16-year-old daughter. And that,
yes.
That you had intercourse with her. And it states
yes.
there that the reason you did it was because you loved her. So whatever happened, why were there no charges filed with that, or what happened with that?
They didn't bring charges on that. They just dropped the charges on my niece because they didn't feel it was credible enough. Even though, you know, I gave a statement.
Okay.
You know, a confession on all of it.
Okay, so did you enter some type of plea agreement on that? As part of your sentence, did you get a plea agreement that those charges would be dismissed? Because we don't have it in here, but
yeah, they dismissed the charges and just brought the charges of my niece.
Okay. So are you still there?
Because they.
Go ahead, sir.
They had brought the charges on that. And figured that was enough time on for both of them, basically.
Okay, so the 16-year-old daughter that you have the relationship is, it doesn't have a name here, but is that the same daughter who you wanted to live with?
yeah, I thought that, and I thought afterwards, it was through my counseling, counseling and talking on my counseling on the street, that was all just about lust, is all it was, basically. It wasn't love, it was lust. And it was just, like I said, through pornography and looking at the books and the pornographic books and stuff like that, it leaned me towards my adopted daughter. And like I said, I struck out at her, and then it went the other way, and I thought it was love, and it wasn't love, it was lust. And even on that, I wish that we could talk. I wish I could talk with her and tell her how sorry I am, and let her work over that, get out of that, you know, if it's still with her. But
okay, so
I've had when I called my daughter a couple of times, the daughter that's on right now, Sarah, my other daughter answered the phone and talked with me and asked me how I was doing and everything else.
I was just trying to understand. Your daughter that's on the phone, that's not the same daughter that's not your stepdaughter that you had the sexual intercourse with?
Is no. It?
Okay. That's what I was trying to make a determination of, sir. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, there's another question for the board right now. So I am going to find this. There it is. I'm going to work through the reporters give statements now, and then when that's done, you'll have an opportunity to make a final statement. So why don't we start with your daughter, Sarah Emerson?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would you like to tell the board anything, ma'am?
I would like to start with the fact that my dad has always been a hardworking person. That's what I remember the most. He was hardworking. We went to church. We did things with families. My sister, cousin, none of us were ever afraid of him. I just want my dad to come home so we can help him as a family, not being thrown in a prison where he does not get the help. I understand prisons are for punishment, but there needs to be more programs to help these people. And this has been almost 30 years that my dad I have children. I have three children. They have been to see my father. They have questioned me why my dad is there. They do all know why he is there. I did not sugarcoat anything for him. None of us condone what my dad did. I just... I don't know, helpful, loving. I've questioned myself, am I a hypocrite for loving my father when he's done something wrong? But we all make mistakes in our lives. We all have to get better. You know, there's illnesses out there that we have to address. And I just think that his best options would be to be with his family, for us to help him. If it means me going to counseling, my husband going to counseling with my father, any of that, we're all here to help him. You know, I would like my father to come to be able to enjoy my family also. I don't know how long I'm going to have my dad left. Only God knows that. And I'm asking that you think about, you know, I don't know how long you punish a person for a crime. I don't know. I know that it's not doing any good without any program to help him anymore. But I just want everybody to know that, you know, we know what he did.
Okay, ma'am.
And
go ahead.
I want people to know that he's not a terrible person. He's not a monster.
Okay. You say you have children at home?
No, sir. I don't have children at home. My children are 25, going to be 23, and almost 22.
Okay. Because with sex offenders, it becomes a real issue for them to...
No, sir. I do not have any minor children in my home.
Right.
My children are all adults. Okay. My life has been very messed up, too, because of this whole ordeal.
Okay, well,
you know, there's been things that just, you know, but no, sir, but my children are very well aware of my father's crime.
Okay.
Like I said, I did not sugarcoat anything for them. They know exactly what he told you, word for word. My children have read the transcript. They know what has happened.
Okay.
And my children have been, you know, that was their choice if they wanted to go visit their grandpa, and every time they wanted to.
Okay, well, my concern was their age and the problems it might cause with the Minnesota Compact Agreement. So that's a...
Yeah, no,
I'm
see, no, sir.
I'm going to see if any other board members have any questions for me. Okay, there's no questions for you, ma'am, so I'm going to thank you for that. I'll ask Tom Verhage.
Yes, sir.
Would you like to address the board, sir?
Yes, I would. I'd like to start by saying that even though it's a distance between Michigan, where I live, and Arizona and Texas, we've remained a pretty close relationship with Ralph. Over the years, we visited several times, my wife and I, sometimes myself, because we're family members, sometimes my wife and I. But I've been truly amazed at Ralph's ability to adapt to a prison life that he was exposed to, and the fact that he made every attempt to do everything he needed to do. He worked at all the jobs that he could find. Also did all the programming that he could find, and so I'm hopeful that you folks in your decision-making process understood he did everything that was humanly possible for him to do to help himself and to stay out of trouble in prison and help other people. I know he's talked privately with a lot of other people in prison and helped them as well, and so I hope that sort of as an indicator for his abilities and where he's at mentally right now. I do not have any issues with him at all, and would encourage you to think positively about what he can do with his family on the other side.
Okay.
Is there any question?
I don't have any. Does any of the rest of the board have any questions for you?
I have one unrelated question. Mr. Tom Verhage?
Yes, sir.
Where do you live in Michigan?
Kalamazoo.
Okay, I was just curious. It sounded like you're from the UP. Thank you. Pardon me.
No, it's okay. Kalamazoo is our ancestral home. Ralph and I grew up together in Kalamazoo, Michigan, near Kalamazoo.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so there's no other supporters, nobody in the audience. So,
Mr. Neal, could I ask the people from Time Comp a question?
Sure.
Yes, sir. So my question to you, do you have any authority when you go back to do your recalculations, since he was not eligible to participate in those sex classes, I don't know what they call them.
Sex offender treatment program?
Yeah, the sex offender treatment program. Do you have any authority to make sure that he becomes eligible to be placed in one of those programs?
Are you talking about if you grant parole or don't grant parole? If you're talking about leaving things as they are right now, the placement in the programs is all based on release dates.
Yeah. Here's the reason I'm asking, and now this is just for me personally, okay? But he would have came to, and if I would have been on the board, he would have came to us back in time and not attended those classes, then I probably would not have been supportive of him getting parole to his next consecutive sentence until he attended those classes. But since you're asking us to go back, and he wasn't eligible to attend those classes, there should be some arrangements made if we give him some time to go back for him to attend those classes. For me, it's important that they go through those classes to find out what their triggers are, what they're doing, and what has happened. And he, you know, has not had the ability to attend those classes because, you know, just some confusion in the way the sentence was done. You know, no one intentionally did it, but I'm asking, would he be eligible or would he be able to go, because that has a great deal to do with how I feel about whether we, at least for me, whether I would be supportive of him having some time taken off, or whether he would be paroled to his next consecutive sentence.
Well, I think what's important to understand is how placement in the classes are arranged. It's all based on release date. When you're looking at consecutive sentences, the sentence can only begin either you expire the sentence or you get paroled to it. I know we all understand that. But when they're looking at placement in the programs, they don't look at the parole eligibility date. It's not a consideration when they're looking to place them. So it wouldn't have made a difference unless he would have been granted parole at one of those earlier hearings.
Right.
So if you wouldn't consider him at the earlier hearing because he didn't complete the program, he still wouldn't have had a chance to complete the program. Because the sentence expiration is what it is. It's 2026, if you will, or 2021, whatever it was on there. I don't remember exactly what the date was. That's what the date was going to be, and that's the date that's going to be used to determine where his placement is and when he might be able to get into the program. That's not going to change until he's granted a parole. So to say that you might have granted one on the first hearing, well, he still would have been in the program. I mean, that's not going to change unless there's a parole grant, and that date moves closer. Does that make sense?
That first sentence, he had to serve it as flat time.
Right.
So that date would have stayed.
On the first sentence.
Right.
So the first sentence was flat time, and the third sentence was the sentence that he would have came to. The third sentence, the third sentence, I think, was run concurrently. And count three was the lead sentence in that.
Correct.
So if he would have came to us and wanted to be paroled to his next sentence, which would have been count four, right? So, It would have been count three. So if he would have got paroled to his next consecutive sentence, which would have been count four, would he have become eligible for
the program?
That was also a flat sentence.
Right. So basically what we're saying is that he would not have been eligible to attend the programming until count three and count four were satisfied. Either he maxed the sentence or he was paroled. Then we start looking at, once he got to count five, that's when you'll start looking at when would he be eligible to attend the programming.
Okay.
Because his sentence would still be too far out. So count three and four would not have impacted his placement eligibility in those programs. Okay. His sentence was too far out, even at that point.
Okay, all right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Do you have a question, sir?
No, I think you just answered it. The way I was understanding it is that he wouldn't have had SOTP during the 412B phase anyways, because he would have still been working through his sentences. It's not until he can see light at the end of the tunnel that it becomes an issue.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Okay. Since we don't have any more supporters, no more questions for DOC time. Are you going to speak on behalf of the victim?
Oh, no. The victim contact information is outdated.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay. Mr. Verhage, we're nearing the end of the hearing, and we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement before the board goes into discussion. So at this time, the only thing we ask is if you don't repeat the information we've already gotten, and that's just strictly a time management issue. So, is there anything else you'd like to tell us at this time, sir?
I just wish I had the chance to you know, we're talking about the polls on my third and fourth sentence, and I would just like to say that I've done everything that I could in here like my mother and daughter have said, I've talked with other people, helped other people with this type of crime, you know, I've gone to church here regularly in DLC I just wish that you will grant me parole on my third hearing and my fourth hearing, you know, to my last one. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board is going to go into discussion, and we will be talking amongst ourselves. Please stay on the line or under the open meeting laws. You're entitled to hear everything you have to say about it. And your two supporters can stay on the line also. We ask that y'all make side info. And when we're finished and have a decision, I'll get back to you, and we'll go from there, all right? Okay, the board is now in discussion. Well, this is, it's unusual because of the way the Ms. Parole hearings are, but if you go back to the back of the case and everything else involved, I understand the issues with them dealing with this programming, but it's a proverbial catch 22. I would be hard pressed to recommend a parole to last a consecutive sentence. As far as the case goes, I have no problem with the entire level, but basically a 16-year-old stepdaughter, because that breaks off as any it's hard to say how far that might have gone, but that is pretty severe. But I'd like that to be where we start the discussion on this this case. So if any of my fellow board members have some information they'd like to share before we make a decision. Mr. Johnson.
I just is a difficult situation does happen. For the information that we have, just the information that we have, the situation with the stepdaughter that he admitted to, and he has admitted to the situation with adopted daughter, he does have a good release plan at this time, which wouldn't have been as important back then. Counts 3 and counts 4.
I can't.
Just someone on the phone, would you please put the phone aside on mute, because we can't quite hear on our end. So thank you.
I wouldn't be opposed to. I think if I look at this right, between the parole eligibility date and the sentence expiration date is 5 years. Is that about right?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Between the parole eligibility date and the sentence expiration date is about 5 years.
That's correct, roughly.
Right. Both of those counts is about 5 years. I wouldn't be objective to maybe giving them 2 years on each one of those. I'm just not sure that we would actually have it, but I wouldn't want them to get out in 2018 and not take those sex classes either. So that would be something that I would look at. So I wouldn't be opposed if the first one was in 2000, the second one was in 2014, which would take away some years, but it would still put put some years on there so that he may be eligible to get involved in those sex classes. I'm definitely not willing to see him released prior to being able to participate in those classes. And those classes, I think, is almost a year, maybe a little bit longer. They're pretty long, so I think he needs to participate in those classes.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I'm going to echo quite a bit of what Mr. Johnson said. I wrote a note to myself that while Mr. Verhage is not entitled to parole based on eligibility, I do believe he might have, and that's the key words, might have been passed to his next consecutive sentence based on behavior and rehabilitation. But my largest concern is exactly what Mr. Johnson said, and that is a calculation that allows for sexual offender treatment program and not bumping him up to being released in a matter of weeks without treatment. I mean, we are, as I stated during dialogue, we still have to consider the weight of the crime and where he's at in his rehabilitation status. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Dr. Wright?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Lowell. I think that it is very hard for me as an individual to even think of what board members would have decided that many years ago, since none of us was on the board at that time. And that's that really creates a challenge for us. I think that the, I'm going to use a word that may not be the right term, but I think that the compromise that Mr. Johnson has suggested might be in the best interest of the citizens of the state of Arizona as well as for Mr. LaHague himself, because it's an unfortunate situation. I was just thinking, you know, where would my head have been when this should have come before the board? I am not sure. I'm not sure what our colleagues at that time would have thought. But I think that now we find ourselves in a position where we must make a decision at this point. And I think in being fair to the state of Arizona and in being fair to Mr. Hake and his family, as well as to the victims, because we cannot forget the victim in this case, because I think that's one of the things that is still in the back of my mind as I was listening to the discussion. The victim, we just don't know how much this has affected the victim. At this time, and I think that this is something that we have to decide, but I think that and I think that it would be good, maybe I'm procrastinating just a little bit, for him to get some of the sexual offense training. I think that this is something that would be helpful to him, and especially in trying to identify, for him to identify for himself as well as for the general public what his triggers were and might be in the future, because that's something that's very important. We just cannot let a sexual offender out unless we're pretty assured that this will not happen again. And I think that if we could move forward with the recommendation coming from colleague Mr. Johnson, I think that would be appropriate at this time. Thank you so very much, Mr. Neal.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. I ask you to agree with Dr. Wright about the victims, even though there were charges that were dismissed, there were two victims. The younger one, there were five charges involving the other one, but the stepdaughter, we didn't really have any idea how much contact there was there or anything, but the 8-year-old is what really concerns me. That is a very young and formative age for young girls, and it really is hard to predict what effect it had 30 years down the road. Ideally, we would only have to deal with one sentence that we're trying to decide on. I agree with Mr. Johnson on not going to the eligibility rate for any consecutive to start. I'm thinking that, and of course, it's hard to say where it's at, but if we added 2 years to count Sabine's PD, I don't know what that would do to the end date of everything else, but in my mind, I'm actually thinking that for count three, that you should leave it where it's at, deny a throw to consecutive sentence on number three, and allow to use the expiration date of sentence three as a begin date for count four. And I don't know what that would do to the parole eligibility date. But I would like to, somehow I would like to add it in there so that we're looking at an end date, a final end date in probably 2 to 3 years from now, so that we should become eligible for those classes and have ample time to take those classes. And I just don't, my mind is not as sharp as it was when I was in high school, so the math is confusing. It might be appropriate to ask the representatives from Pine Comp if they can get a rough idea. I understand that that none of this is going to be exact until we run it through the system, but if we denied the consecutive sentence parole for count three, then use those figures to grant a parole the consecutive sentence for number four, so he would be in number five. What would his end date be if he did it that way, or roughly what would it be?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that would be a fair question to ask them. I think that they really need to go back with whatever decision that we make, that they need to go back and come up with that information, and then he would be certified at that point by the Department of Corrections, I think, to ask them. And then that would also mean that we would have to go out of discussion and open it back up. And I think that we just need to do our job, and then it's back in their hands. It's not trying to put nothing back in your hands, Mr. Haley. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to move it forward, and I think that might be best thing. And I should not have pointed you out, but because this is us talking among ourselves. We're not talking to you. It's just us, not you in the room. But I think it would be best for us to just one real woman speaking, for a motion to be made, and see where it goes. And I think that would be appropriate at this time. Mr. Neal, I think your colleague next to you wants to speak.
I think what I'm asking as one independent voting board member is something similar to what Mr. Johnson said, something uniform. Like, it sounded like 2 years off of each of those sentences, and then we move to his last consecutive sentence so that there's room left for SOTP, or am I not understanding that?
That's kind of where I'm looking, but I'm kind of confused because I don't want to take some time off and then he gets out early and not able to complete those classes. I'm trying to figure out how do we give him some time and he completes those classes, because if this thing is right, if we did like Mr. Moore said and deny the parole on count three and just granted the parole on count five, his early release credit date would be January 1st of 2023, and it looks like his parole eligibility date would be in 2021, okay, which would be 3 years, which would give him time to take those classes. I mean, if I'm reading that right, if that's right, on this seat here, on this seat here, it looks like if I'm just not sure, but it looks like if, on this seat here, if he's below represented change if it granted a 412B on count four, he began on count five. So I'm assuming that means that She denied it on count three, but gave it on count four. I'm kind of confused, but if parole eligibility date was 11-1 and 21, that gives him 3 years to take those classes before he becomes parole eligible. And then it gives him 5 years in 2023 to do it. So that's encouragement for him to have his parole eligibility date. So I don't know if we can make a motion that however the time comes to begin, that it shouldn't be figured that I don't know how to word it. His parole eligibility day should be in 2021. That way he has to take those classes and he becomes parole eligible in 2023.
I'm not sure it'll work out exactly what we're talking, but that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And it makes more sense than trying to, you know, do two, because we're really out in left field.
Absolutely.
And it would be uniform. And it puts it in the parameters.
Mr. Neal, I think for time management, as one of our distinguished colleagues would say, I think there would be an order for a motion to be made.
Yes, sir. But
so where it goes.
I'm trying to figure my way. Okay, so based on everything we have here, I am going to make a motion.
So before you make the motion, I'm just trying to make sure. Where we at, Dr. Wright, if we could just come out of discussion just to, before we make the motion, just to get a clarification from TimeComp, which we all know TimeComp is probably the most complicated part of this whole system, so we can make clear on the motion that we're actually making. I think we know what we want to say, but I'm not sure how to make that motion. If we can just come out for it and just have it give us.
Okay, well, we can come up to, yes, please come forward to us, sir, and your permission, sir.
Yes.
Please state your name again for the record. We have to go through that process.
Yes, Herb Haley, TimeComp Unit Administrator.
Brittany Cassiano, a Project Program Specialist.
So if I understand somewhat of what you're asking for, what you're looking for is for count five to have a parole eligibility date, hopefully somewhere around 2020, 2021.
Right. The parole eligibility,
2020,
yes.
For a parole eligibility date. So if you had 2 years, so if you just go back to count three, the initial one, and if you were to say parole 3 years after the parole eligibility date, and then they would start count four, he would start count four, and then if you would say 2 years after the parole eligibility date on count four, that would put count five roughly around 2020, about March 2020, something like that. Somewhere around there, again, it's not a firm date, but somewhere around that time frame. So you're looking at about a five-year difference, 3 years on one count, 2 years on the other, or 2.5 on both. Whatever you're looking for, that would make the difference. So if you did 2.5 years from count three, parole eligibility date, 2.5 years from count four, parole eligibility date, that would move it up to around that time frame. If you're looking for consistency, like you were indicating earlier. If that helps, or if you have any other questions.
It does very helpful. Thank you so very much, sir.
You don't want your job.
I think that, I think that for consistency, board members, and I'm just speaking as one board member, I think that perhaps if we could look at that 2.5 years for consistency, so we would be consistent, then that would perhaps and give enough time for, because I think that we're going to have to look at, I just want to put this on the record, we have to look at more than just the sexual offense training. We cannot guarantee him that if he does this training that he's going to get out. No, we cannot do that. We got to look at everything at that time. So I think that give him the 2.5 years and give us the 2.5 years, and I think that'll be fair to him as well as the citizens of Arizona.
Thank you, sir. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion, and the motion is to grant roll the next consecutive sentence from count three to count four with a date on it of 2.5 years after the parole eligibility date that travel of July 2nd, 1998. And also to grant parole the next consecutive sentence for count four with 2.5 years as a date. And that is based on your parole eligibility date that we have on our paperwork of July 1st, 2012. And in the motion, I further move to deny after discharge.
Do we have room for a set off? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm not sure. I was thinking of an eight. Sorry about that.
Move it forward. I'm going to second it. So that we can
absolutely, I agree.
I agree.
Okay. Well, I apologize for my stalling handling of this. But it was rather confusing on that. So, Mr. Verhage, did you understand that?
Yeah, it's going to be 2.5 years from.
Okay, good.
For my first parole date, and then whenever that next parole date is, it'll be 2.5 years from that.
Which is
that
one. Which is moving into your last sentence, and our hope is that you'll be eligible to take those sex offender classes and make some, you know, more moves, maybe possibly even more programming. And then your next parole eligibility date will come before the board, and we'll consider the facts at that time. We just won't have the confusing previous counts. So, since you understand that, and you know, it also gives you some time to really make a solid plan for your future. But so we're gonna grant the parole consecutive sentence on count number three with a I guess you'd call it a begin date of that 2.5 years after the current parole eligibility date, and grant parole next consecutive sentence for count number four with the same stipulation of the 2.5 years after the current parole eligibility date listed in the paperwork. So, thank you for participating, sir. Thank you for your supporters' help. And thank you for time comp. And this will end your hearing, sir.
All right.
We're going to hang